I don't have anything to stand on tonight. You don't either. Our propitiation, our standing place is on what He did for us. We don't have anything to boast of. There's none of us good. We all wicked, sinful in nature. We is all lost on the way to hell. We couldn't be good enough, couldn't earn our way, couldn't buy our way, but thank God He died for us. That cross. And I'm glad it answers for me. I appreciate that good singing tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 16. Leviticus, chapter 16. I thought I was going to preach from another portion of Scripture, but this began to bother me when I was in the service tonight, and I just want to do what I feel like the Lord had had me to do. And I hope in some way your life will be helped. This meeting has been a blessing to my life. I appreciate Brother Melvin, Brother Doug, appreciate the folks here at Westside and what God has done through the years. I'm glad He is a God of the past. Thank God for what He has done. I am grateful that He is the God of the future. My, what we've got to look forward to. But I'm glad He's a God who's present. A God who works now in our midst. And I'm grateful that we don't have to live on past experiences. And we don't have to live on future expectations. But we can live on an ever-present high priest who makes intercession for us right now. If you're willing and able, I would ask you to stand as we read just two or three verses found here in this chapter. Some years ago, Brother James Bumgarner, who preached last night, read from these verses and preached a message on the goat is gone. I want to read verse 20. It said, "And when He hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, He shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there." You can be seated tonight. I am interested in the verse there in verse 21, the latter portion of that verse. And it says, "And shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." I want to look at this fit man tonight, for there was a lot laid upon the shoulders of this man. I would say that the Lord is looking for a fit man in His service today. I understand that the scapegoat, there was a goat that died and shed its blood. And then Aaron would lay his hands on the head of that live goat, transferring the sins of his own self and the sins of the nation of Israel to that live goat. Yes, and that goat would be led into the wilderness, never to return again to the camp of Israel. It is symbolic to the work of our Savior. John said down by the riverbank, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." I'm glad He came to bear away or to bear up our iniquities and our sins. And with confidence and with joy, I can say tonight, my sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. As deep as the ocean may be, they're gone. As tonight the demonstration of Calvary has proclaimed, they're washed away, they're forgotten, they're forgiven, they're gone, they've been led away. Oh, bless His name. But I want to say something about this word fit. It is a word that is very interesting. I want you to note the size of this word. Just three simple letters. Doesn't take someone with a doctorate to be able to pronounce it. It is just a small word. But aren't you glad God is not in the business of using big things? But God chooses the small things to accomplish His mighty work. I don't know about you, but that is an encouragement to my heart. Tonight, if God only used folks who were big, I'd have been left out in the cold, holding an empty bag. But I'm glad tonight the Lord uses the small. He uses the insignificant. He uses the unknown. He uses the little things to accomplish His work and to glorify His name. You see, God used Moses' rod. He used David's sling. He used Gideon's army of 300 against 185,000 Midianites. Aren't you glad God is in the business of using little things? But there's something interesting not only about its size, but there is something interesting about the strength of this word. You would look at this little word, fit, and you'd think, well, its horn is not loud. You would think whatever it has to say would not rise above a whisper. It's so little and so simple and so small. But things are not what they always seem to be. For in this little word, fit, there is a thundering word. There is a mighty voice that rings out to you and I. Oh, this little word, though small, packs a punch that'll knock you off your feet. I'm glad tonight that God can take the little things and do great things with them. Things are not what all you would not think God would use some people and some things. But I read in the Bible when Samaria was faced with a famine and they were surrounded by their enemy, there were four lepers who were fixing to die. And they said, there ain't nothing to eat inside the city. And the enemy's on the outside of the city. We're going to die. We'll just run over to the enemy's camp. And if they show mercy, well, if they don't, we're dead men anyhow. And when they got there, God had already stepped in and slew the entire army. And them boys ate like they hadn't eaten in a long, long time. And they ate and they ate and they ate until they felt guilty. They said, should we stay here and enjoy what we're doing while our city is starving to death? Let's go tell them there's food in the camp. Hallelujah. God took four lepers and carried a message of life, a message of hope. I'm glad tonight God can take men and women whom sin has brought low and lift them up out of the mire and use them as a testimony and a voice for God. Three things I want to say right quickly, and I'm not going to preach long, about this fit man. Number one, he has to be a man who is upstanding. Not just anybody was chosen to lead this goat in the wilderness. I mean, they just didn't look around. And the first fella they come to, they said, well, he looks like he can do it. No, that ain't how it is. The Bible said he's a fit man. And by the term upstanding, I mean he's a man who is of good report. He's a man who has proven himself. A man who has a good track record. There's a lot of folks in the church. They want to hold down positions of leadership, and they've never proven themselves. They've never run very long in the race. They've never had time to bear a good testimony to others. Hey, when Timothy wrote, he said, if you're going to choose some deacons, they got to be some men of good report. Not novices, not beginners, but men who have proven themselves.
themselves. They wasn't just going to choose any old Joe to lead that goat in the wilderness. It's going to be a man who had proven himself to be faithful, a man reliable, a man dependable, a man worthy of the work that was to be done. He is upstanding. He's got a good track record. I wonder tonight what kind of track record we got. I just wonder if God would just show our track record in church attendance. Wonder what kind of track record we'd have. How have we proven ourselves? And I wonder what kind of track record we've had in our prayer life. What kind of track record do we have in reading this Bible? What kind of track record do we have in tithing and giving unto the Lord? Hey, a fit man is a man who has a testimony that stands upright, who has proven himself to be reliable. You can count on him when the times get hard. He is upstanding. Number two, he is a man who is unrelenting. You see, this goat, you just didn't take him across the first hill and let him go. His work may involve many days and many nights. It may involve months before this man returned to the camp of Israel. It was his job to make sure that goat never did come back to the camp of Israel. I want to say tonight, I'm so glad my sins have been taken care of. There's no danger of the goat ever coming back to haunt me nor you, because the Savior's done took care of it all. He's borne it away. They'll never, no, never be remembered against us anymore. He's unrelenting. He must be able to cross over mountains and walk through the valleys. Tonight he must be a man who has a spirit of determination. He does not diminish in intensity, nor pace, nor zeal. He is unyielding. He is not a quitter. He is a man that presses on no matter what he faces in life. Hey, we need some men of God that'll be determined to weather the storms. Some men of God that'll stand in the face of the iniquities of our age and carry on the work of God. He's looking for a fit man. As a man who is unrelenting, he is a man who has stamina. The word stamina carries the idea of lasting, endurance, patience. Those are not shallow terms. Those are not weak definitions. They are words that are rooted deep in the promises of God's word and in the assurances of God's presence. We live in a shallow age. It doesn't take much to blow a lot of people off course, because they're not people who have stamina. That's why when somebody offends us, we throw up our hands and quit. Because it's an easy thing to do. I want you to know if I would have determined my ministry on what people thought about me and what they said about me, I'd have quit a long time ago. But I ain't a preaching for people. I'm a preaching because he loved me and he allows me to love him. Hey, tonight, God's looking for a fit man. You got to have stamina. You see, I started studying this, and it occurred to me, this man done his work all alone. Didn't have nobody to walk with him. All he had was a stubborn goat. All by himself. I mean, as soon as he crested the first mountain, he couldn't see the campfires of his people anymore. He couldn't hear the singing of the tabernacle choir anymore. He is out there all by himself. We live in a day, if you don't pat somebody on the back, and if you don't applaud what they do and appreciate what they do and tell them so three times, they puff up like a toad frog and they won't sing in the choir. They won't teach their Sunday school class. They'll say, I'll show you. Hey, you won't recognize me. Hey, I ought to be willing to do our work all alone. Whether anybody's there to help us, whether anybody's there to goad us on, whether we hear the choir sing, or whether we hear the saints pray, ought to be a fit man. Hey, keep on going, keep serving, keep living for the Lord. He's got stamina. But another thing about him is he's got strength. He's strong. And we got a Labrador retriever at the house. I never have been crazy about animals. Never have. And I really despise cats. If you love them, you're just going to have to get over what I'm fixing to say. I literally despise them. They make my eyes itch. They make them swell up and get red, and I get all, my skin goes to crawling. I just can't stand it. I just ain't never been an animal. I love them. I ain't going to be mean to them. Of course, we got it. Got this dog for, our daughter got it. And you know how all that does. They get it, and then you got to take care of it. I feed that dog every day. When I'm at home, and then when I ain't at home, my wife has to feed it. And he's big as a little horse. He wouldn't hurt a flea, but he'll jump on you and knock you down because he likes to play. And when I unleash him from that chain and I put him on a leash, it takes everything I got to hold him back. He drags me wherever he wants to go. And if you don't have a good tight grip on the leash, he's going to run off from you. Now, I don't know what you think, but goats are stubborn animals. They want their own way. There's a lot of them kind of folks in the church house. If they don't get their way, they take their toys and go to the house. And they kick back on Sunday morning and they say, well, we'll see how you get along without me being there. I want to tell you, God can get along without me. And God can get along without you. And God can get along without any of us. He's doing real good. Forever come along. He'll do well when I leave the scene. That's good. Amen. Glory. You say you say that about every year you're here. I do. But I have to remind myself, God doesn't need me. He'll do very well whatever he wants to do with whoever's willing to do it if I ain't going to be part of it.
He's going to have to hold on to that leash. He can't let that goat go. Now, a goat's stubborn. But I want to tell you what, you get the sins of a whole nation on the head of a goat. He really is stubborn then. I mean, I can see that old goat. That man's wanting to lead him this way. He's wanting to go that way. He's got to be strong. He's got to hold on. Hey, it helps some folks to hold on to some things. Hey, I'm not a holding on. I'm not enduring to the end so I can be saved. But I do think there's some things you ought to stick with. There's some things you ought to put both hands on and let everything else just fall away. Hey, you better hold on to that Bible, that Word of God. Hey, don't you be fooled by these kind of versions. You just stick with the Word of God. Hold on to her. Hold on with that old-fashioned way of worshiping God and honoring His name. Hey, hold on to the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost, dealing in hearts, convicting sinners, saving souls. I'm going to hold on to some things. Now, if you want to swing and sway, you go right ahead and swing and sway. But I ain't going to have no part of it myself. This chanting outfit and this praise music they sing for about an hour, stand up there waving back and forth, ain't felt God in 40 miles. Give me some folks that have been in their prayer closet. Give me some people that have weathered some storms. Give me some folks that know what it is to be a Christian, and they love God with all their heart, and they come to the house of God, and the glow of heavens are dripping off them. Their face and they can't help themselves. I'm gonna hold on to that kind of crowd myself. Amen. That's good preaching. Some of you don't like it, but that's all right anyhow. You say, well, that's the way that you're gonna get a crowd. I ain't interested in a crowd. I'm interested in the Christ. There's a generation growing up that don't even know what worship's all about anyhow. They've never seen it. They've never been around it. And it's up to mom and daddy and grandpa and grandma to show them what it is, what genuine worship is. He's a fit man. He's unrelenting. Number three, and I'm going to quit before I make everybody mad. He's a man of understanding. Amen. What am I trying to say? He ain't no dummy. Now, I know some of you think I ain't got sense to get in out of the rain. But I've done been in the rain. I know better. Of course, there's been some times when it hadn't rained in so long that it goes to rain, and I'll just stand out in it because it feels good. But this man ain't no dummy. He ain't no city slicker. He's a man that understands the wilderness. He knows it ain't all flat ground where he's going. He knows he's going to have to climb high hills. He knows he's going to have to go through low valleys. He knows there's danger and even the possibility of death in what he's fixing to do. And he knows the fluctuation of the wilderness's environment. He knows in the day it's going to be hot and dry. And the sun's going to beat on him. And in the night, it's going to grow cool. And it's going to get chilly. And maybe even cold at times. And he's got to make sure that goat don't get away.
He lives in fluctuation. That describes a lot of things in the Baptist church. Boy, it fluctuates about every Sunday. Attendance fluctuates. You'll have a crowd one Sunday, and then the next Sunday you thought 55 people done joined somewhere else. Fluctuates. Hot and cold. Dead and alive. You can have a worship service on Sunday morning, come back on Sunday night, and you think you've got a new congregation. Something's happened. Fluctuation. But I'm glad this kind of man just keeps pressing on. No matter what the environment is, no matter what the elements are, he just keeps pressing on, carrying out his task for the glory of God. He has an understanding of the wilderness. But he has an understanding of his work. He's not flippant. He's not kidding around. Now, I'm all for having fun and enjoying you. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I won't tell you, when it comes to the work of God, that's a serious matter. When it comes to souls of men and women dying and going to hell, that's serious business. This man had an understanding of his work. You see, the weight of a whole nation rested on whether he was successful or not. If he fails, the whole nation's in a mess. If that goat ever comes back, it's going to cause havoc. It'll unsettle an entire nation. It'll bring to remembrance their sins again. It'll put fear and dread in their hearts. This man understands his work. That what he's doing, he's not doing just for himself. He's doing for the sake of others. May I remind you, what you do for the Lord is not just for you, but it's for other people. It's not just for you, it's for your wife and for your children. It's for your family, it's for your church. God's got you doing whatever you're doing to impact somebody else's life. And preachers, let me tell you tonight, there's a congregation looking to us every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every prayer meeting night. They're looking to us for leadership. They're looking to us for a word from God. They're looking for us for the kind of a pastor that we ought to be. And God, help us to be a fit man. Help us to understand our ministry impacts the lives of children, boys and girls, and young people. Let me remind you, when your heart gets cold in that little class where them little youngins are and they're screaming and hollering, and you get about half activated, you need to remember they've got a soul and they need to hear about Jesus and his love. And you need a brokenness in your heart. You need to understand they got a soul. One day they're going to come to realize they're lost and undone without God. They need a Savior. You need to understand what you're doing and what you're putting in their heart. At that age is very important. You need to understand singing in that choir. Standing in your place. Impact somebody else's life. Don't sing because you have to. Don't sing because you may have a talent. Don't sing because you think you can. Sing because you love the Lord. Sing that you might honor Him and let God take it and have its impact on somebody else's life. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. Brother Randy's wife, Miss Lisa, I want you to come around here. I'm going to sing a song. He has an understanding of his way. Now, I can see this man being gone for days, far away from the camp of Israel. And finally, he leads that goat off a cliff, and that goat dies. Then what's he going to do? He ain't going to stand there. I hope he don't stand there and scratch his head and say, well, wonder which way it is back to the house.
It'd be terrible him get out there in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere and not know where the camp of Israel's at. But he knows his way back to where the people of God are. There's a lot of folks, they don't know the way back. They barely get there Sunday morning, but somehow or another they don't know the way to back, come back on Sunday night. You know what's wrong with them? They ain't got it in their heart. You ever get it in your heart, it'll put a way in you to get you back. That old boy knew the way back to the camp. He wanted to feel the warmth of a campfire again. He wanted to feel the fellowship of his family and friends. He wanted to hear that tabernacle choir sing. He just needed to hear it. He's dry and thirsty. He's tired and weary. He feels like, I ain't never going to get there. But finally he tops the ridge. He sees the fires burning in the camps, and that tiredness somehow or another leaves him. Something rises up in him and said, I'm almost home. Hallelujah. Hey, some of us need to get to seeing the lights of home. We're getting closer than we've ever been. Hey, it'd be good to see some of the lights of that city. It ought to put in us a want to press on and to get back to the house. I'm going to sing this song. I want you to stand. I won't be a fit man in the service of God. Maybe he has spoken to you. Would you listen to him? One day as I was thinking of unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me, and he filled me with his love. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, you know they've turned their backs on me. But I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. Say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus with glory in my soul. It'll carry me home to Jesus yonder in that glory land. Now, soul. Help me sing that chorus. Now I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now some say, give me silver, and some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus, who saved my dying soul.
Just keep on playing. There are those that are still praying in the altar. Brother Hinkle Little, that we remember this evening, used to sing that song, I Want to Die on the Battlefield. Now I'll never forget, there was a young preacher boy, was in a storm. He loved the Lord, and his family was coming apart. Brother Hinkle loved that young man. I called up to Taylorsville and said, Brother Hinkle, this young man's going through a storm, and told him the situation. And next time I saw that young man, he said, Brother Melvin said, guess who called me the other night? Said, Brother Hinkle Little called and said he didn't say a word, but he just started singing. I want to die on the battlefield. And it says, I love you, and don't you ever forget it. And he hung up. I want to tell you, preachers, we get weary. We become very discouraged, and we just seem like we want to just throw in our towel and just hang it up. But I want to tell you, now is the time, if there ever has been a time, that the God-called men really need to stand up and be counted. Now's not the time to cave into the pressures of this world. The new things that are coming about, honestly, I tell you, and I tell my people at Westside all the time, I said, you're shielded here. You don't get out and see what I see, know what I know about what's going on. You're here at Westside, and I thank God for them. Brother, I'll tell you what, I encourage them to stay in church and stay away from the garbage cans. But read in the Times Magazine last week, I was in the doctor's office, and I just, you may say, well, Brother Melvin, you shouldn't tear up on them. Well, it was, actually was in a business office. It was in the doctor's office. Said, Brother Melvin, you shouldn't tear off other articles in a magazine. It belongs to the office people there, but I had to just tear off that page. Because, you see, the Times Magazine had run an article debating Christianity and what it really stood for and what was going on. And in that article, they were saying something about that the Protestant religion was decreasing. Set it down to 52%. And was still decreasing, and told about how many didn't believe in the old time way, or didn't believe in the blood, things of that nature and all. And so this person retaliated and said, I just want to tell you that it is not decreasing, but we are increasing. We are learning a love. We are learning that we don't have to go to these narrow-minded, opinionated churches that don't accept us as we are. In fact, we have evolved to the point in religion that now we believe that God has many names. I want to tell you, that stirred up my blood. I said, my word, how low we've come. Some preachers somewhere have thrown in the towel. And they've just compromised to the pressures of this world, but I've got news for you.